May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the victorious one, the one who has risen and ascended on high. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 17. Let us pray as we continue this day to hear the word of our God. We pray, Lord, richly bless the teaching, preaching, hearing, receiving of your word today. Grant us the Holy Spirit. Grant us faith, understanding, peace, and unity, and strength. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
And now the congregation may sit. Well, here we are, First Lutheran Church. Look around for a moment at your blessed brothers and sisters. Go ahead, look around a little bit. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, First Lutheran Church, aren't we one big happy family? A rousing response from First Lutheran. Aren't we one big happy family? Let's hear an alleluia.
Alleluia.
All right. Some of you probably are kind of smirking, saying, not alleluia, but ha. How in the world is that ever going to happen? We're a bunch of sinners. And we have a voters meeting today, too. Oh, no. Jesus in the gospel lesson, John 17, prays that we indeed be one big happy family. If Jesus prays about it, it's important. And it can happen. He makes it happen. In John 17, we have a portion of Jesus' prayer here that's in the gospel of John. We call it his high priestly prayer. He prays this on Monday, Thursday, before he'll be arrested and killed at the cross and then rises. He prays for the church. And notice how the first thing he prays for here, what's the first thing on his mind as he prays for you and I? He's not just praying for them back then, he's praying for us. And I mentioned before the readings, he prays this continually. He's praying now at the Father's right hand. What's he pray for us? This is what he prays. One of the things he prays. And he prays that we be one. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they, that's us, may be one, even as we are one. Our Lord prays, top of his mind, as he thinks of us, may they be one as we, Father, are one. May they be one big happy family. We don't smirk at that. Let's consider that. How can the church be one? First Lutheran, and then you think of the worldwide church, which is divided all over the place between all the denominations. How in the world can we ever be one? How can we be one here? Let me say three things. First of all, mention two ways that people in the church attempt to be one, but it doesn't work. And then I want to talk about true unity in the church. First of all, to have unity in the church, to be one, it doesn't happen by coercion. It cannot be forced. It doesn't happen by the law. You don't give a bunch of laws and create unity. Maybe you have a little bit of unity, but it's a shallow unity that God doesn't even like anyway. It's shallow and it's superficial, that kind of unity. Jesus here in John 17 does not give commands and demands about unity. Note that. He does not sit his disciples aside and say, look, you guys, be one. Smile at each other. Shake each other's hands. Group hug. Love each other, doggone it. Come on, it's a command. You got to be one. He doesn't command it. He prays for it. He prays to his Father. It's a gift, not something that we are able to do because we sin and divide and break up all the time. He prays the Father would make us one. It's a gift of the Father. It doesn't happen by coercion and laws. I recall when I was a boy, our family took a vacation to South Dakota. We had relatives there. No offense to Pastor Roberts, who is from South Dakota. Well, I guess we can defend him. He's not here anymore anyway. South Dakota is boring. The east part. It's as boring as Indiana and Illinois and Iowa, right? But we took a trip there in the middle of summer. 9 people in one of those big old station wagons. No minivans yet. No big other vans. Station wagon. Our family, 4 boys, my sister Lois, mom, dad, grandpa, and grandma. Crammed into a station wagon going hundreds of miles to somewhere in South Dakota around the corn pallets there. No air conditioning, all right? No air conditioning. No iPods, no cell phones, no gadgets with games, no TV screen and watch a movie, kids. None of that. 9 people crammed in the station wagon. We were not one big happy family. My mom and dad and grandpa and grandma, they tried to enforce unity. They tried to enforce unity by laws. You know, mom and dad, about every half hour, look, boys, don't touch each other. Don't look at each other. Don't breathe on each other. Don't call each other names. And above all, don't steal each other's food. Especially you, Paul. Don't steal each other's food. And then the biggest command was sleep. Just please sleep. If you sleep, the trip goes further. Just sleep, please. Needless to say, not a good trip. Not real unity in the station wagon. Laws can't do it. Laws create a superficial, weak unity, which really isn't unity at all when you think about it. And so in the church, myself and our board of elders will never create a bunch of laws on behavior to create unity. We won't ever do that. All right, when you walk into church, shake hands. You have to shake someone's hand. Smile. Even if you don't like the person, smile at them. Come on, group hug First Lutheran. Come on, love each other. If you don't like someone, avoid them. Sit in a different pew than them. No fighting, no bickering. I mean, law after law about behavior, it's no unity. No unity really at all. Jesus doesn't command it, he prays for it. We don't command it, we pray for it. It doesn't happen by coercion. Secondly, it does not happen by compromise. It doesn't happen by the compromise of God's word specifically. Never does it happen by the compromise of the word of God. We dare not ever alter or change or compromise the word of God. It's not our word, it's his word. We dare not change it for anybody. There are many things in the church we compromise on. Temporal things, it's good to have a spirit of compromise. That's very good. A budget meeting, have a spirit of compromise. Are we going to paint? Are we going to lay carpet? Are we going to put in air conditioning? This and that, temporal things, compromise. You know, work together. You don't have to have your way. Give the other guy his way sometimes. You get your way maybe. Compromise in the middle. Compromise, we all get along. That's fine, that's good. But when it comes to the word of God and the truth, we never, ever, ever compromise even a little bit. I mentioned in class today, and you guys know this, a hot topic today that pertains is same-sex marriage. And I'm sure there's lots of churches and so-called Christians will come out saying, it's fine. The president says it's okay. It's fine. Why don't we do this? Why do they say it's okay when the Bible says it's not okay? To compromise and to try to have unity. Let's make peace. Let's have some kind of unity with the world and each other and all get along. Let's compromise what God strictly says is wrong. Homosexuality. God forgives it when there's repentance like any other sin, but he never says it's okay, just like murder and stealing and adultery is not okay, ever. You have to repent of it and be forgiven. And so the homosexual too, repent and you're forgiven. You're one of us. Repent though and call it a sin. Read an article in the paper today actually, and I want to just read a couple paragraphs because it says it well, better than what I could say it. It's from Cal Thomas, who's a writer in the paper, and he writes about this whole topic. A couple paragraphs, he says, it is becoming increasingly difficult for people who believe the Bible is God's word to impose their beliefs on those who disagree with them. But it is something altogether different for those who disagree to claim the Bible doesn't say what it says. In effect, they're calling God a liar. True. Liberal theologians have tried to modify or even change what is contained in the Bible. And there are those in our time who are following their example with the issue of same-sex marriage. People are free to accept or reject what Scripture says. What they are not free to do is to claim it says something it doesn't say. In modern times, that's called spin. In earlier time, it's called heresy. Well put. That's just one topic that we can never compromise. On the word of God, no matter how unpopular it may be. So be it. Jesus wasn't real popular either, was he? And he says the church won't be real popular either. We don't create unity with anyone by compromising the word of God. The word of God is like the engine of the church. It's our power, our strength to do anything. It's our engine. We would never think about compromising things that go in our engine. How many of you ever said, well, gasoline is $3.40 a gallon, I'm going to put water in my gas tank to compromise and get it cheaper. never do that. I'm not going to change my oil. I'm going to put chocolate syrup in my engine. It looks like oil. Good enough. I'll compromise and it'll be cheaper. I won't put a new tire where my flat tire was. I'll get a bicycle tire and that'll be good enough. We all know that's ridiculous. You're compromising, but you're ruining your engine. You're not going to go anywhere. We compromise the very word of God in any way. We don't go anywhere. We're stuck. No blessing from the Spirit. No, when Jesus says be one, he is not talking about coercion. I'm going to force you to be one. He's not talking about compromising truth and just get along. Our oneness is found in Christ. Christ creates the unity. The power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He makes oneness happen. And he made it happen right after John 17. As I mentioned, this is Monday, Thursday, when he prays this. He prays, may they be one, Father. May First Lutheran be one. And then what's Jesus do? He doesn't just sit there and pray the whole time. He goes out and makes it happen. On Good Friday, he dies. On Easter, he rises. He accomplishes salvation. He makes us one with the Father. Where we poor, miserable sinners are now one with God the Father because our sins are forgiven. We're reconciled to him. God does not count our sins against us. We are one with God himself by the power of Jesus Christ. And therefore, may it overflow to us. If we're all one with the Father, how can we not be one with each other through Jesus? It's his gift to us. Specifically, there are two great gifts Jesus gives to his church, in summary, that give unity and maintain it. One is truth, that I just talked about for a little bit. The truth of God's word. That is there to give us faith together, that we know God together, that we believe in God together, that we be one so that we can have a great witness to the world. We're to be one big happy family, not just so that we're happy fat sheep in the pew. We're to be one so we can be a great witness to all the people out there that have broken lives. They're divided, they're broken, they're torn, there's war, and they see the church when it's one in love and truth. I want that, they say. They got something there that I don't have. They have unity, community, love, truth. They confess together. They believe together. I want that. But when we're all divided, what's the world want with us? They fight this like I do at work. Why do I want to go with those people? Truth of the Word of God. This is why in the church we teach and teach and preach and preach, church, school, everywhere, the doctrines of God over and over. We teach law, we teach gospel over and over. We teach the Trinity, we say the creed, Father, Son, and Spirit over and over. We teach about baptism all the time, communion all the time, his body, his blood. We do these things all the time, teach and teach. We have the church year. Over every year is the church year. Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter season, next Sunday Pentecost, and Trinity Sunday. We repeat this. Why do we do all this stuff? Liturgy all the time. Why do we do it? We do it that we believe. That we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That we be one in that faith, united together, that we be a great witness to the world. That's why we do it. Not so that we're smarter than the Methodists. That we think we're smarter than the Baptists. We're smarter than you. We have more biblical knowledge than you. That's arrogance. We teach these things over and over, that we believe in Christ in all humility by His Spirit. That we be one in our confession. Then we can really witness to the world. And they just might hear. We've all been in a car where everybody wants to go a different direction. And everybody wants to be the driver and tell the driver where to go to get somewhere. Dad, you got to go right. Dad, you got to go left. Dad, backwards. Dad, forwards. And everybody's arguing, where do we got to go to get to our destination? What settles the argument? Well, in my day, it was the Atlas. Today, it's the GPS, isn't it? What's the GPS say to do? You're supposed to turn right, which Dad, of course, said all along we're supposed to turn right. We're supposed to turn right. It's right here. An objective third source says turn right, so we're going to turn right. And everybody shuts up all of a sudden. Oh, okay. I was wrong. That's where we're supposed to turn. And the Word of God, the truth, is our GPS. It is our atlas in the old days. It's the map to heaven. It shows us the way. It keeps us on the road. And when we go back to the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, we all be quiet. We bow down to the truth. And then the other great gift Jesus gives is love. The two go hand in hand. If you have truth but no love, what's that? If you think you have love but there's no truth, that's not really love either. There's truth, we confess together, doctrine, teaching, and then there's love. There's the love of Jesus. a sacrificial love where we forgive and we forgive and we forgive 70 times, seven times. We are forgiving. That's the glue of the church, the forgiveness of sins. The glue of the church isn't that we're a bunch of good people. The glue of the church is that we hurt each other, but we forgive each other. And we forgive some more. And we make peace at all effort. And forgive some more. 70 times, seven times. You know, as pastor, I don't worry if we fight. Really, I don't. I got three brothers I grew up with, okay? And a sister. We fought. I don't worry if we argue and fight and some feelings are hurt. You hurt my feelings, I'm sure I hurt your feelings. That's life. We're sinners. I don't want to do it intentionally. I hope you don't do it intentionally, but we're going to do it. That doesn't worry me because we're sinners. What worries me is if we don't forgive and we hold a grudge and we avoid people and we ignore people and we think that's Christian, we think that's okay with God. That's the world out there. Here we forgive because we've been forgiven by God. Here we make peace because I'm at peace with God. You know, I'm not a fix-it guy. In my garage, Hunzi, I have super glue, some wood glue. I even have Gorilla Glue. Can you believe that? Glues that bond things together, and I use them here or there. The glue of the church, the real bond of the church, is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. When we are forgiven by Christ and we forgive each other, all of hell can't stop us. The demons can't stop us. The devil shudders at that word one. When the devil hears that word one, that we believe in one church, we're one, he's scared. They're one. I want to divide them. But we're one because we forgive each other in Jesus Christ. And we know his forgiveness. And all of hell can't stop us. We confess our sins and hear absolution so that we are forgiven. But don't stop there. So that also I have the power to forgive each other. I take Holy Communion today so that I know I'm forgiven, the body and blood. Don't stop there. I'm also forgiven here so that I forgive my brothers and sisters. I'm one with them. May we be one big happy family. It's not idealism. It's not a fairy tale. Jesus prays for it. Jesus died that we be one. He rose that we be one. He's given us his word that we be one. He's given us the sacraments that we be one. He's given us the spirit that we be one. May we be one big, happy family. Let's hear an alleluia. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's stand as the people of God and confess our faith. The Nicene Creed.